everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Dadcast. I am your host, JP, joined by the other host, Mr. Nick Martin. How are you, Nick?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Oh, man. We've got this string of amazing podcast guests, and today is... hasn't changed. It feels like we're getting better and better and bigger and bigger. And today's guest, I'm super excited to talk with.
It honestly doesn't get any cooler than this last couple of weeks. It's been like,
I know. It's awesome. And wait till you see who we have with us today. He is an Emmy Award winner. He is a movie star. You may remember him from such films as Karate Kid 3 and got a lot of cool projects going on right now, including he's the author of a brand new book, which we are going to talk to right now. Please welcome to Dadcast, The Way of the Cobra. And there it is, Mr. Sean Kanan. How are you, man?
Hey, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
Oh, we're stoked to have you. Yeah, dude. Right. Now, of course, the premise here on Dadcast, we typically like to stay centered and talk about being dads, our role, the path, the journey, the adventure, the stories, the bad things, the good things, everything far and in between. And if we do go off the rails a little bit, which is very common here on Dadcast, don't be too surprised, Sean. The very first question, of course, it's a rite of passage here on the show, and it is, are you a dad?
I am a dad. Yes, I am.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing. How many kids do you have?
So I have a daughter, and my wife has four kids. They're not kids anymore. They're all moved out of the house. We're empty nesters. But when my wife and I got married, she said to me, "You do know I have four kids." And at that point in time, they were kids. We just had a 10th anniversary. And so it became like the instant Brady Bunch family. And, it was not without its challenges. And now... I've got these four amazing stepchildren that I love as if they were my own. And it's been one of the biggest blessings in my life.
That's amazing. Awesome. How old, what are the age ranges right now?
So there are two twin girls that are, I believe they're 22. Michelle's son, Peter, is 30. And then Gigi is, I think she's 27.
Wow. And your daughter?
And my daughter is going to be 21 next month.
Wow. So just run the gamut. And how old were the stepkids when you became stepdad? Give or take, we don't need exact ages.
Give or take, the twins were like 11. So there were a lot of shining jokes that went on.
Yes. Anytime you went to a motel, the long hallway, right?
Like 11 years old, like 16 and 18.
Okay. Now I'm a stepdad as well. I entered the life of her when she was 3, and she's going to be 18 this year.
Oh boy.
She's 17 going on 30. And it hasn't, as you said, been without its challenges. You, in your case, as a stepdad with four, I guess I should actually back up and ask this. Is dad in their life?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, very much so.
So same with my scenario. And he's a great dad. He plays a part. Exactly. I mean, she splits time back and forth. But there's been some headaches here and there. How did you, if you had any, how did you overcome those?
I drank a lot.
Ditto. Right.
I don't anymore, but I did. I try to be the most authentic guy I can be. Where I made mistakes, I probably talked to them a little too much like adults sometimes. And said, look, this is difficult for all of us. There's a learning curve here. Like you said, there's times when it's hard, I was the guy that their mother, decided to marry when her other relationship concluded. And, in a lot of ways, I can completely understand how the kids felt that they were just, their reality was being completely uprooted.
Yeah.
And I tried to be sensitive to it. And I also, I try to convey my feelings too, that, yes, I'm stepping in as your stepdad, but I'm also like a guy, a human being too. And I'm experiencing challenges and difficulties too. And you got to understand where I'm coming from. And so, You know, I think through attrition and through sometimes friction rather than absorption, we found our way. And now, you know, I'm able to relate to them as adults. My one stepdaughter, Julie, plays my daughter on Studio City. And she's fantastic. And so, you know, we are really fully integrated into each other's lives, which has been amazing. You know, it's funny, you know, you get older and your dance card gets full, and then you meet a woman with four kids, and suddenly it's like, you know, you got to clear space for 400 human beings that you didn't know. And it's just, it's interesting, you know, and it's turned out to be an incredible gift.
Well, you know, it also says, I'm sorry, Nick, it says a lot about what I believe is your character as well. There's not too many men out there who would knowingly jump into a relationship with a woman after the fact. Hey, there's four kids involved here. That's, you know, generally like, maybe we'll walk away or reconsider things. And,
you know, when you meet the right one, it doesn't always come in the package that you imagine it comes in.
Right.
And it was, for me, it was too good a package to let go. And you know, what I'll be honest, what initially I perceived as being, how can I phrase this diplomatically? let's just say challenging, has turned out to be really wonderful.
Excellent. Nick, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, man.
Yeah.
You had something.
So yeah, my wife and I gone through kind of the similar thing. I have five kids previous. She had zero kids. So she came in as stepmom to, they were like 7 years old up to 12, 13. And then kind of went through that whole thing of, you know, some of them are adults now, moved out, and they're, you know, or everybody's really close now, which is awesome. But it was definitely challenging dealing with being the new mom and kind of, you know, not per se taking place of mom, but, you know, being another mom and another mom, finding her place. And so now we're dealing with, we have our own little kids now. We have a 2-year-old and another baby on the way.
Congratulations
for punishment. Yeah. Thanks.
Jeez, you start a baseball team there or what?
Yeah. Right. It's
put a harness on that thing, brother.
I did.
He did.
I was fixed. And, I met the right one. She wanted to have a baby. So I'm like, let's do this. And
let's do it.
We did the IVF thing. I got unfixed, and
I love that.
It's crazy.
And we find out tomorrow, by the way, the date of this recording is July 16th, 2022. I believe this episode will drop early August. But tomorrow, Saturday, 17th, we find out, boy or girl, right?
Oh, that's exciting.
In this whole new gender reveal era of the world where you have to have a party for everything.
Yes.
Oh, the cool thing is we're surprising grandma and grandpa. So we know what it is.
Oh, you do? Okay.
You do.
I do know what it is.
Okay. Yeah. Without giving anything away. Oh, you can tell us, right? This isn't airing till August.
Exactly.
So you can tell me right now. Was I correct in my guess on Facebook? Just answer that.
I don't remember what you guessed. Sorry.
There looked like a little protrusion in the picture.
No, you're wrong.
What? You're having a girl? Oh my gosh. Finding this out for the first time, man. This is like one of my best friends in the world, Sean. Oh wow. Oh,
congratulations. Hey, listen, girls are great. You know, I mean,
let's pump the brakes there. They're great. They're great until they hit 15.
They're great until they hit 15.
Right.
Yeah. And then
hey, buddy, imagine twins. Okay.
Yeah. They're like your best friend, and like you're like the king of the world. And then all of a sudden, I hate you, Dad.
Yeah.
I'm going to start dating. No.
That terrifies me. That terrifies me so much. My little girl, she's 9 years old. She's in there right now. She will probably poke her head out here any moment, because if I go more than 30 minutes without her, you know, by my side, there's something wrong or she's getting into trouble. Yeah. But she's going to, I got 5 years until that 15 mark.
I think I figured out part of my apprehension I'm having too is I have to go through this again. Like, I'm going through it right now with my 17-year-old, and I'm like, oh, my God.
But you're going to go through it with a lot more knowledge this time.
Yes.
A lot more, not only knowledge about being a parent, but, you know, that self-awareness about yourself. You know what I mean? And don't underestimate the importance of that, you know?
But there's also a big difference too, being older. Like I was like being a younger dad, like I'm 42 now. So being in my 20s was like a completely different ball game to now. Now I'm
it like, is. When no, you're younger, it's like you could have played tennis with your kid. Now it's like you take the tennis balls and put them on the bottom of your walker.
So yeah, that's, yeah, exactly. Now the hell of a time to play weeks in this. It's like, come on, what is happening here?
Right.
Oh man, I'm going to shift gears here real quick. Sean, you got a brand new book out. Nick showed it earlier. Way of the Cobra. Man, now that actually spurs a whole new conversation, which maybe I'll ask later, but tell us about the book, man.
So Way the Cobra is a motivational book. Cobra is an acronym formed from the words character, optimization, balance, respect, and abundance. The structure of the book is that I'm your sensei, you're in my dojo. The chapters are divided into belts. And these are the tactics and strategies that I've used to achieve some of the success that I've had in my life and to overcome some very large obstacles and hurdles. People always ask me what the genesis of the book is. And I wrote it shortly after turning 50. I started writing it anyway. You know, and I had had some pretty significant success and I had had some kind of epic failures, some of which were rather well publicized. And I was kind of looking in the mirror going, okay, man, what's next? What's the next chapter here? And I was 35 pounds overweight. I had no prospects for an acting job. I was, being revisited by some demons that I thought I had long put to rest. And I just realized, hey, look, I need to do some things very differently, very quickly. And rather than wait for my ship to come in, I decided I was going to build the damn ship. I just had to figure out how to do it. And over the course of that 1 year, my second book, Success Factor X, became an Amazon new release bestseller. My show that I created, Studio City, was nominated for 16 Emmys and won 3. And I lost the 35 pounds, now 40. And I don't say that to impress people. I say it to impress upon you what is possible when you're willing to get clear, when you're willing to really get in touch with what your motivating force is, your why. And when you're willing to accept accountability and responsibility for your life and, take off the warm blanket of victimhood and realize that not everyone deserves a trophy who comes in ninth place.
Yeah.
And that, life is tough, but, there's things you can do to make life easier. John Wayne had this great quote. He said, life is hard. It's harder when you're stupid. And I think it's true. I mean, there's a lot of things that I certainly was doing that were stupid. And there's a lot of things that in the book, I hope that I'm able to give people better options. And, it's a combination of philosophy and strategy and tactics. Philosophy teaches us how to be self-aware, how to ask the bigger questions in life of ourselves and others. But philosophy without real world practicality and action is theoretical, right? And strategy and tactics, which is not tempered with philosophy, is kind of like, going 200 miles an hour in a Ferrari, but you're going in the wrong direction. You'll get somewhere fast. It just may not be where you want to go. And so I just took all of these things that I had learned and put them into the book. And I tell people all the time, I say, listen, before you think like I'm levitating on top of some mountain in Kathmandu, contemplating my navel, I've made every one of these mistakes a dozen times over. So, these are battle tested through my own mistakes. And if I can act as a sensei, as a guide to help you help yourself up the mountain and avoid some of the well-worn traps and pitfalls, that's what I'd like to do.
There you have it, man.
Awesome. Yeah.
Author, Emmy Award winning movie star, and slayer of demons, Sean Kanan.
Indeed.
Most impressive. Man, I'm on my everything is popping up on my computer. I apologize if you guys can hear that. All of a sudden I'm getting bombarded with text. I should have turned that off like you did. So it's not the first book you've written. You mentioned
It's my third book, and I'm well down the path to the sequel to Way of the Cobra, which is going to be called Way of the Cobra, Welcome to the Kumite. And that is going to be coming out this fall. And I've always written for about as long as I can remember. I've always written. You know, my dad was a guy that was kind of like a, you know, he ran a pretty big family company. And then as he got into life later, he started writing. And my dad's probably on his 8th or 9th book now. He writes true crime and a lot of sort of historical books. And I don't know. You know, it's funny. I thought I got into acting all those years ago because I wanted to have a voice and I wanted to express myself. And I love and still love entertaining people. But what I realized was I really wanted to do it to inspire people. And as I got older, I realized that my acting was only one conduit to doing that, that I can do it with my writing, with my coaching, with my speaking. And so it's kind of opened up this whole sort of new front in my career path.
Amazing. Yeah. So man, that was a while ago, man. Karate Kid 3 was what, 1989?
Yeah.
Now, I got to ask, Johnny Lawrence and Mike Barnes get in a fight. Who wins that match?
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing. If you go by the canon information from the Karate Kid universe,
yeah.
I think it'd be Mike Barnes hands down, because Johnny was, you know, he was a regional Valley champion, which is, you know, great. But Mike Barnes was a national champion. You know, why wasn't Johnny Lawrence the national champion? You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay. But we don't know what Mike Barnes has done all these years. And we know that Johnny's been working diligently at improving himself as a martial artist. So I don't know if it happened now. I can guarantee you that there'd be some blood and feathers.
Okay. All right. Now, if Johnny Lawrence and Mike Barnes are going to see each other and possibly spar and fight anytime in the near future, just sit there and look good, Sean. It's confirmed. Okay, I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to ask the question, everyone.
I got to know how you pulled off playing the best bad guy in the Karate Kid series. Like, you are...
I agree, man.
He was the biggest dick out of all of
them. For sure. Like, for sure.
Incredible. Like, Johnny Lawrence was okay. The Karate Kid 2, okay. Yeah. Chosen was okay. Yeah. But, dude, holy shit.
You know,
you were just mean.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but they hired somebody else initially to play Mike Barnes.
Yes, I went down the rabbit hole, man.
And they had to let the guy go after about a week. And the what I have heard is the reason they let him go was he wasn't able to be convincingly menacing. And you know, I like to think I'm a pretty nice guy, but I'm an actor, and I guess on some level, somewhere deep down, I've got that ability to kind of summon that guy up. I don't know, but you know, they really at the final tournament scene, they really allowed me to ad lib most of my dialogue. And
your karate sucks, man. Daniel. Yeah.
I got possessed by the spirit.
Well, I, for one, and also I'm sure I can attest for countless amount of fans of not only yours, but also the Cobra Kai series. We are crossing our fingers and hoping that Mike Barnes, Sean Kanan, makes an appearance in the very near future.
All I can tell you is I'm as excited about season 5 as you are.
All right.
There's a lot of dojos that need some help.
Nick, okay, so we got about 10 more minutes, give or take. We've got a segment that we like to do. It's called the Fast 5. Nick just asked. Now, granted, you may got to reach for some of these questions because all your children are now adults. So you may got to dig back in the memory banks for these. But, Nick, have you put together a Fast 5?
I did, and I kind of catered it to older kids this time.
Oh, all right. Look at you. Got the big brain on Nick.
I did the Wikipedia dive as well. All right. What is your favorite meal to cook for your kids? I saw you love to cook, so.
Ooh, and my favorite meal to cook for your kid. Well, you know, there's this recipe in my first book, which is called The Modern Gentleman Cooking and Entertaining with Sean Kanan. And I tell this story about how I had these two adorable, gorgeous twins staying over at my place. And I said, you know, we had stayed up pretty late the night before and they were understandably tired. And I said the next afternoon when they woke up, I decided that I was going to make a pasta for them called pappardelle gemelle, which means gemelle is the feminine version of twins in Italian. And so the whole little spiel is that it, you know, you're thinking that I had these two hot girls staying over, but it was my little stepdaughter twins. And I made them this pasta. So I'm going to go with that one. It's kind of I call it a puttanese. It's a half puttanesca and a half bolognese. So it's a meat-based, very hearty pasta sauce with capers and olives. And I sometimes put some eggplant in a nice red ragu sauce over a thick ribbon pappardelle. So that's something I like to make.
Are you hearing this? This is way better than the mac and cheese response we get from a lot of dads.
Exactly. Corn dogs. Toast. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
It would be Sean Cannon starring in Top Gun 3.
The Return of Goose.
I love this guy. He thinks like we do.
Right. He thinks big. You know, we've got Tom Book. Should we give him a call and see if we can get him on?
Yeah.
Does he get you in?
Damn right. It, Tom.
What's going on?
Did you see it? Did you see Top Gun 2, Matt? Are you kidding me? Wow.
Well, not only did I go, my buddy's like, we're going to go see Top Gun. I was like, great. And so I get there and suddenly I am reverting back to being 16 years old, driving my parents' Caprice Classic 90 miles an hour, pretending I'm in an F-16.
Right?
And they were giving out studio promotional posters and pins, and there was somebody handing them out, and I was literally elbowing little kids to make sure I got mine. Like, I was like, who am I? Yeah. I just, you know, that film Top Gun was such a seminal part of my, of my young adulthood. And I was so hoping that Maverick was going to be great, which it was. And I was waiting for it for so long because we know there were a lot of production difficulties. Yeah. And I was just like, just like a little kid watching it. I was like, this is epic. And we saw it at IMAX.
Yeah.
Made it even better.
Yeah, man, I saw it in Vegas, and then I had to lie to my 11-year-old son when I got back, and you're going to be watching this, Sawyer, so here's the truth. It's coming out. We got back, and Dad, we got to go see it, and it's like, of course. So I went and saw it for a second time, but had to lie the entire time, like I hadn't seen it, and be excited and pretend and act the whole, but it was absolutely worth it a second time. That was a great flick.
Did they put the year, correctly for Miles Teller's character? Because he is way too young to be 34 years old.
1987, man, right? 1986 was in, and he was probably three. So we'll call him 3 years old in 87, 97, yeah. 07, 17, 30 years right there, 22. I say it's spot on.
Yeah, I think it works. I mean, I think if anything, wouldn't you guess that a fighter pilot who's in his mid-30s, well, I guess they're not all young 22-year-old guys.
Right.
So I guess that's right. I thought it worked. I thought he was great.
All right. I think he's great. But okay, anyway.
Carry on, brother.
What is your proudest dad moment?
Oh, wow. I think one of my proudest dad moments, I don't remember specifically what it was, but I remember I said something funny in my weird, quirky sense of humor. And my daughter, who was very young, got it. And I was like, oh, thank God, she's got the comedy gene. Good, good. Because I mean, I do stand up. And I mean, to have a kid that's not funny or can't comprehend humor would be crushing.
Yes.
Exactly.
There you go.
All right. What's one piece of advice for dads with teenagers?
Ooh.
For dads with teenagers.
Stealing my question, Nick, by the way.
I can give you a piece of advice, but it's a four-parter and it takes a second. But basically, a lot of times young kids will say to me, can you give me some nuts and bolts advice for success? And I tell them the first thing is you learned it in kindergarten. It's the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the first thing. The second is to be impeccable with your character and to protect it at all costs. To understand that what can take a lifetime to build can be destroyed in a second, and that your integrity is everything. The third is to act with empathy and compassion. And you never know what private war someone else is fighting. You know, you we've all had that experience where you see an elderly person maybe in line in front of you at the pharmacy, and now they're suddenly paying with a check, and you know the film that goes through your head would probably get you arrested. And, you know, you don't know if that person's deciding if they've got enough money to feed themselves or buy their spouse's cancer medicine. And so just take a little beat and be just a little more empathetic and understanding of other people's potential plights. I think really just being someone that is a do what you say what you mean individual. And when it's, and I guess the last piece of advice, I know I probably gave you more than one, obviously, but know that you're enough. You know, I think when you're young, at least with me, you have that tendency to be overly demonstrative and assert your personality because a lot of it comes from insecurity. And you know, cool is not how much you put out there. It's how much you can keep back for yourself. And, you know, film actors, you know, we have a saying, it's know it, don't show it. And I think if you just know walking into a room that you're enough, and you don't have to quite try so hard, and it doesn't have to be so anxiety provoking and stressful, everything. Maybe that would be some good advice.
There you go. And I think that's going to be our clip. Love that. Nick, any more questions?
Yeah. What's your funniest parenting fail?
Oh, we're going just to fail.
Think back on. Yeah.
Oh God. Well, I guess my daughter had asked me to come in and speak to her. God, I don't know. It must have been like fourth grade class or something. And I was like, I got this, man. I do this for a living. I go and speak to kids all the time. I travel the world and speak. And I got into this fourth grade class, and I literally had to fight off what I can only assume was an impending panic attack at flashing back to being in fourth grade. My wife was in the audience, and she almost like she knew it was happening and was like laughing at me. And I for a second there, I kind of forgot where I was and what I was going to say. And I had to really wrangle myself. And that was pretty embarrassing. I brought it around and pulled it together, but it was touch and go for a second.
All right, I've got one question, Nick, if you're done.
I'm done.
And then we'll get close to wrapping this bad boy up.
Okay.
No so pun intended. There's two questions that I'm – a little background here. I've worked in radio for, gosh, over 20 years.
Your voice is glorious.
Thanks. I know. I got the whole face for radio thing and voice for it, too. And over the course of those years, I've interviewed countless, you know, musicians, celebrities, you name it. And one question I always asked – up until recently, only one person nailed that question so well. And I'll let you know who it was after I asked. But in the meantime, a couple of weeks ago, we've had like three guests in a row answer it almost exactly the same for the first time in like 20 years. And I thought that was just so great. And then another question we had literally 2 days ago with Sean Patrick Flannery, which is the question I'm going to ask first. He answered this one the best way I've ever heard it as well. So no pressure, Sean. First question. If you could star in and act with any living or dead actor in the history of the world in a project, who would it be?
I probably would say Robert Downey Jr.
Okay, we can make that happen. That's still possible.
But here's the thing. Like, I've got a handful of actors that I love, but there's the part of me that's like, you know, you want to dominate the screen when you're in a film.
Yeah.
And it's like, I love me some Nicolas Cage, but man, he sucks the oxygen out of the room.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to think, do I want to start a movie with this guy or do I just love to watch his movies?
Right.
You know, Robert Downey Jr. for me is just one of the greatest living actors. Daniel Day-Lewis. But I probably Robert Downey Jr.
Okay. Now, do you want to hear the answer Sean Patrick Flannery gave?
Sure. Is it going to involve him as an older guy?
No. Okay. And it's not to knock your answer at all, because those were great. But he said, and I quote, "I already did it. I had my kids in the film with me." And I just went, oh my gosh. Okay. Right. Okay. It's like, okay. And there's that. So, and the other question, which you feel like is just a generic one that everyone always asks you, what's one thing Sean Kanan cannot leave the house without?
Well, there's the obvious, my phone.
Right.
Lately it's been nicotine gum. You know, I don't even smoke, but I like it because it keeps me up. Is it terrible?
I don't know. I should try it.
Yeah. I like it. I like a bunch of little nicotine gum and get a little, wind under the wings. What else? Nothing really exciting. I mean, it's like, you know, the normal, you know, wallet, phone. I wish I had something like really
profound to say. Right.
My copy of the Bhagavad Gita, you know.
Okay. And you know what? And that's perfectly fine. You know, like I said, been doing this a long time, and that is your basic answer. It has changed from laptops to iPads to phones over the years, to car keys and whatnot. But it was a fateful day about 7 years ago. I'm interviewing Mr. George Thorogood.
Okay.
And he says, I said, "George, what's one thing you can't leave the house without?" And he, without skipping a beat, he says, "Kissing my wife."
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, without leaving.
What's one thing you can't leave the house without? Kissing his wife.
That's excellent, because I didn't quite listen carefully enough. I was like, what is one thing I can't, you know, leave? I have to leave with.
Well, and you know, thing, you automatically go to a possession of some sort.
Yeah.
And it went years and years and years and years before anyone matched that. And then was it
a great answer.
Was it Sheck? Jonathan Sheck?
Yeah,
John's a good buddy of mine.
Yeah. We had him on. He's an amazing guest, and he got us Sean on. And then it was right after that. I don't know, but they both basically answered it the same as George did. So now there's three, you know, people who've answered that question, you know, profoundly like George did over the course of the years. But so I keep testing a man, and so
I had kind of back to back, answers that really probably are not going to make the pro. So,
although they can make the pro, you're on the show. The fact that you're here on Dadcast, okay, you want to end it on a high note? All right,
absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Sean Kanan, who cannot confirm nor deny that he will be making an appearance in any particular Netflix show that you really, really like. Thank you for being on the show, man.
Hey, man, thank you, both of you guys. It was like just, you know, hanging out with a couple of buddies, man. I hope we have a chance to do this again sometime. I really enjoyed talking to both of you.
Well, since you mentioned that, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, let me plant a seed with you, good sir.
Uh-oh.
Every year we do a Father's Day episode, and of course, Father's Day has recently passed, so we've got many, many months until the next one. We recorded a few weeks before Father's Day, and it airs on Father's Day. Our third annual version of that particular episode will be probably next May, late May, early June. And we've got about, you know, 30, 40 blocks on the Zoom screen with a whole smorgasbord of different celebrities, musicians, actors, athletes. It's really cool. And I think next year, I mean, Jonathan's going to be on. Sean's going to be on. You're going to be on. There may be some other guests that I'm not able to name yet that should be on. We'd love to have you if that's something that you'd be interested in.
I would absolutely love to just, you know, send me that reminder.
Yeah.
You know, in enough time, I'll block it out, because I think that would be fantastic.
Yes.
To do a promo on your new book coming out too.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure. I would love that. You know, let's keep in touch, guys.
Yeah.
And believe me, when the new book is ready to go, I'm going to hit everybody up. So
nice.
And you guys will really dig the new book.
One last time, what is the name of the book, and where can everyone get their grubby little hands on it?
The book is called Way of the Cobra. If you'd like to get an autographed and personalized copy, you can get it at wayofthecobra.com. Otherwise, you can get it on Amazon or Kindle.
There you have it. Sean Kanan, thank you so much for coming on the show. You've been amazing guests, obviously a great dad, great man, great person overall. For everyone watching, what was that, Nick?
Best bad guy ever.
Oh, yes. Oh, but a sweetheart at heart.
On your the new addition to your family, man. That's really exciting.
Amazing. Everyone watching the show and listening, thank you so very much for your support. We appreciate you. If you're watching on the YouTube channel, make sure you subscribe, like it up, do all that stuff. If you got a question for Sean that you'd like to pass along or we would help do, go ahead and type that down there. Look for him or don't look for him in the upcoming season. I'm kidding. I'm going to leave that at. He is Sean Kanan. Thank you very much, man. We appreciate you. And we can't wait to talk with you again. Right. We'll see you next week. See you.